Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DeathDoorProd.com Video Games Podcast. It is a Tuesday. I, of course, am your host, The Dead Man. Joining me today, smacking it up, is Bobiwan.
Hot chocolate.
And, of course, we have Shax.
You gotta blow out of...
Today we're talking about some motherfucking video games. Shax, what you been playing? You son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
So that's all for Shax for today.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Let's see here. I kind of shelved Batman Arkham City. I kind of wanted to go back to that to finish up some of the side missions. I just haven't been able to. Mm-hmm. I got back into playing SOCOM 4 a little bit again. It's strange. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm, like, all of a sudden good at that game. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you just take a couple seconds, if you take like, a good chunk of time off from playing a certain online multiplayer game, and then you go back to it, all of a sudden you reach some, like, weird zen state where you're just like, oh, dude. It's the same thing with me in the first Modern Warfare. Like, I'd go for, like, weeks without playing that, but all of a sudden just boom, headshot, boom, headshot, boom, headshot, boom, headshot.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I was never bad at it. I never sucked at it. It's just
right. Of course now, you didn't.
Well, I mean, I would have deaths over kills, but like it wasn't anything. I wouldn't like. It wasn't like every match I'd go like with one or two kills and that's it. I mean, I would stay pretty average. You know, I'd be like 5 and 8. You know, 6 and 10. Mm-hmm. But now I'm going like 22 and 5, and I was like 10 and 2, and I was just like, I'm fucking killing them. Destroying them. So, but let's get to the 800-pound gorillas in the room. I play through Uncharted 3. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the greatest games I've ever played in my entire life.
Don't sugarcoat it. Tell us what you really feel about the game.
Well, like, I didn't want to be one of the people that say it's just like Uncharted 2, but it really is. And mainly in the sense of how crazy big the set pieces are and the situations that Drake is in. He goes through some shit, and it's just like, how the fuck did you survive that?
He's Nathan Drake.
Yeah. He is.
Yes, the power of Nolan North compels him.
Yeah, I mean, compared to the other games, I think I gotta say the story of this one is much better. I think a part of it is because, you know, the character's so well developed at this point, mm-hmm. and you know them so well, and when shit happens, it might, like for me, it affects me. Like, I play video games for story. That's the first thing that I play video games for, is for the story, to be told the story, just like watching a movie. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just, you know, for fun. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a situation in Uncharted 3 that I was laying there playing the video game, just chilling in my bed, and a cutscene happens that I instantly sat up, my mouth dropped open, and I felt tears coming to my eyes. And it's like, if a game can do that, if a story of a game can do that for me, it must be fucking phenomenal. So, yeah, I mean, but the action, it's very top-notch. You're constantly like, holy shit, this is happening, I'm going through this, and boom. A lot of people have been complaining about the gunplay of Uncharted 3. For me, like, it's been a long time since I played Uncharted 2, which kind of sucks because, like, during Extra Life, I kind of wanted to go through and play Uncharted 1 and 2 during that time, but I never got around to it. So, like, with Uncharted 3, I guess playing through Uncharted 3 with the gunplay, I kind of felt like it felt a little bit more, a little hard, But I kind of just matched it up to, oh, I got to get used to the Uncharted controls again. And once I was playing through it and got through, you know, a good, you know, chunk of the chapters, I was kind of set with it, you know. I was having no problems with it. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, people are bitching about the gunplay, saying that it's not as well defined as it was before. But, yeah, I don't know.
So 3 to 5?
What's that?
So 3 to 5?
I gave it a 5 out of 5, which I was going to give it, I was going to give it a 4.5, because like the online play is still good. It's just, it's not, to me, it's not hardcore worthy. Like I don't think the Call of Duty fans and such and the Halo fans will. And those are first-person shooters, and this is a third-person shooter. So, I mean, that is, you know, a difference there. But the hardcore multiplayer genre or crowd, I don't think will like this as much.
But well, you call them a crowd, I call them amorphous mass.
Right.
They're just kind of sitting there staring at you like that one boss from The Binding of Isaac. Occasionally it shits out something that shoots at you.
It's just, yeah. I mean, like, look, I mean, I just don't see those people flocking to this game's multiplayer in droves like they do for the next map pack for fucking Call of Duty.
Oh.
But I think for a casual fan of getting on, like, once a week, like, my one buddy, he plays Call of Duty, but he plays it, like, once a week and like, for a half hour at a time, and that's it. I think someone like him would probably be entertained by this because there's nothing there to – I mean, you do level up and you do unlock things and you do get money to get different stuff and things like that. But
yeah, but these two games are entirely different experiences. Like Call of Duty, it's like real – it's like semi-realistic military shit with just
– right.
With just shit jumping off all the time. You know, the most – you know, the like highest – like the most – like most like – complicated movement you can do is jump.
Right.
Yeah, but meanwhile, in something like Uncharted, you're like running all over the place, jumping all over shit, you can turn into spiders.
Right. I mean, the only reason why I kind of am trying to compare the two, and like I said, you know, yeah, one's a first-person shooter, the other one's a third-person shooter, and there are differences from there on out. But Naughty Dog takes their multiplayer seriously.
Yeah.
And it's something that you don't expect from a developer that their main source of making video games is single player games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, usually, you know, when a developer makes a game, it's their main thing is their single player. Their online or their multiplayer kind of lacks. I mean, the only other company I think that does a pretty good job with their multiplayer is. Is Ubisoft with Assassin's Creed, or at least with Assassin's Creed's Brotherhood.
She's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's the only reason why I kind of compare them, because they do take it seriously, they do put a lot of work into it, and so do, you know, companies like Activision and you know, Zipper and things like that. Yeah, but like I said, I was going to give it a 4.5, but then the more I thought about it, I kind of liked the new fighting, the new hand-to-hand combat of Uncharted. I liked it a little bit better than I liked Batman, where most people were the opposite. The thing for me was with Uncharted, like, you know, it was basically the same thing. It was square to punch and fight and triangle to dodge and, you know, counter and shit like that. And it would just be like a button prompt at the bottom right-hand screen to let you know what to do. Where Batman, it was over the person's head that was attacking you. So with Batman, if your camera was turned just right, the person that was about to hit you in the back of the head with a club would be off-screen and you won't know to dodge that attack. Where with Uncharted, if they're about to hit you, it would pop up and you'd be like, oh, I can do that. And the guy will like swing and, you know, come back on the screen and he'll miss. I like that a little bit better.
Okay.
And the story was incredible, where the Batman story was decent at best.
Okay, so just while we're on the subject of Uncharted 3 review scores, and Bobby, you can chime in on this too. Have you guys heard about, like, the shit that's been going on with Eurogamer?
Oh, I think they gave it, like, a low score or a medium score or something.
They gave it 8.5 out of 10.
Right, which is a respectable score.
Yeah, it's still a fucking awesome score. It's still 85%. That is still, this game is fucking awesome.
Right.
But
I wish I got more grades like that in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, over on, like, NeoGAF and N4G, people were ripping them the fuck apart.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad we're talking about this, because I was thinking about bringing it up on today's show. I kind of feel like games like Uncharted 3 and Skyrim and your Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 games, we might as well Noah should just reveal. Because, like, you're either a fan of the series and you're going to buy this game, or you're not. You know, what it basically comes down to. You're either in on it or you're not. Mm-hmm. I mean, and when scores like Uncharted 3 are getting an 8.5 and people are fucking bitching about it because it's not a high enough score, it's fucking insane to me. It drives me nuts.
But you want to know what's insane? Like, I was watching, like, I watched a bunch of, like, different video game news shows, and there's one where they actually pulled a couple of quotes from NeoGAF. And one of them, and you Mac people out there, pay attention. It said, a 10 out of 10 is nothing like a 5 out of 5. One is 100%, the other could be anywhere from 80 to 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
I applaud you, internets, for your great wisdom.
Yeah, and people are like fucking bitching, like, oh, you're here just being trolls. There's just an attention grab. Like, no, not really.
Yeah, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't with the internet community. I mean, if you give a game like Uncharted a 10 out of 10, you're pandering. If you give it an 8.5, then you're just trying to get traffic to your website by, you know, trolling.
Yeah, fucking trolls or.
I mean, and that's I'm sorry, go ahead.
Or maybe you actually thought the game deserved an 8.5 and people should calm the fuck down.
Right.
Yeah. Like, this has been going on for, like, a while now. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, even some developer, like, Cliffy B, he actually, like, came out and he actually, like, when Gears 3 came out, people were reviewing it and they said it was not as good as Gears 2. And Cliffy B was like, they should reevaluate their scores. Gears 3 is in every way better than Gears 2.
I liked what Jim Sterling was saying about Cliffy B.
Yes. Yeah, Jim Sterling.
Yeah, like, I mean, this was happening with Uncharted 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Uncharted 2 came out and there was, you know, websites that were not giving it perfect scores and people were bitching about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, this...
Yeah, like, everyone is fucking bitching about everything these days.
I seen a scale of someone posted, I think it was on SG or something, where the scale of how gaming reviews used to be and how they are now, and it, you know, the old one was, you know, it was like 1 through 2 was bad, and like 3 through 4 was poor, and then 5 through 6 was medium, and 7 and 8 was good, and then like 9 and 10 was perfect or something like that. Where now it's 1 through 9 is bad, and then 9 and 10 is perfect.
Yeah, like I think like with Batman Arkham City, Yahoo Games gave it 6 out of 5.
Wait, 6 out of 5?
Yes.
How is that possible? Like Batman the Perfect?
Yes, like they guess like I think it was either like for it was either for Batman or it was for Uncharted. I can't remember which one, but they gave it a 6 out of 5, saying this game was so perfect it was too perfect for our scale.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's fucking pandering.
That is pandering. I mean, like, as it is, when people give, like, me giving Resistance 3 and now Uncharted 3 a 5 out of 5 for both of those games on our website, I still had problems with it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's I hate that people see that perfect score as there's no problems with the game, that everything's perfect about it, that you must love everything about it. That's not at all with any game.
Yeah, like most sites, they have any kind of review scale. They always have like something saying like their highest score. It's not perfect, but it's pretty damn close.
Right.
Like even ours, if you go to the about section, when I wrote out a rundown of our review schedule, like our review thing, 5 out of 5. It's not perfect, but it's as close as anything's going to get.
Exactly. Yeah, that's really all you can ask for.
Yeah, and actually, just with all this, you guys know Mega 64, right?
No.
Bobby?
Nope.
You really never heard of Mega 64? Okay, so they're this internet comedy group. They do a bunch of like video game based jokes, and they do a bunch of video game based sketches and stuff. And they did this one thing. They just released this one video. It was Modern Game Journalism, the movie, the trailer. And so it was just like this one guy, he's like big, like really highfalutin game critic. Everyone like follows his scores and shit. And then he reviews Uncharted 3, gives an 8.5, and then everyone's trying to kill him.
I love it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, and it's like being like a big kind of like mobster movie. It's like, 8.5? You think we pay you this much for an 8.5? And like everyone's just saying they're going to kill him. And at the end of the trailer, it's really funny. It's like, I bought Final Fantasy 13 because it got perfect scores everywhere. It was shit. That's why I want to kill you. Then pulls out a gun and shoots him.
It's insane. Like, if someone plays Uncharted 3 and they're like, I didn't think it was great, I'll give it a 2 out of 5. I'm thinking to myself, you're fucking insane. You're clearly just crazy to me. But on the other hand, I'm like, hey, whatever. You don't like that game, you don't like that game.
Yeah. Reviews are subjective opinions of games.
That's like a long time ago. I wrote a review for GTA San Andreas on GameSpot for user reviews, and it got taken down. And so I hated the game. Mm-hmm. And I gave it a bad review. I gave it a bad score. And I went to the mods about it and was like, why was this taken down? And the one guy was basically like, you were trolling. And I was like, how am I trolling? I'm giving my opinion about the game. He was like, one of the things he pointed out in my review that I didn't like about the game that he didn't like that I put in there was the swimming. And I was like, dude, if you fall off a cliff, because it's so easy to, and you land in the water, you could spend up to like 10 to 15 minutes swimming around to find an access point to get back on the land. I'm like, that's not fun. That doesn't make swimming fun. I'd rather go back, GTAs go back to, as soon as you hit water, you die, than have to fucking spend 10 minutes just swimming in water.
Or like Saints Row, you go in the water, press button to warp to shore.
Boom. Yes. And I was just like, finally, you know, after arguing back and forth with this guy, I was, you know, it came to a point where they put it back up. Because what I was doing is I would reset it because I had it copied and saved. So I just kept putting it up and they kept taking it down for like 3 times. And finally I'm like, dude, this is my opinion. I don't give a fuck if you like what I say about the game or if you feel like it's trolling. It's my opinion of the game. I don't like the game. It's a review. Deal with it. And finally, they stopped taking it down.
Yeah, but, you know, that's GameSpot. Remember, they fired a guy because he gave a game a bad score.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not surprised, but it's just that mentality of, like, dude, it's a fucking review. It's and why do people give a shit? Like I said, look, if someone's going to think Uncharted 3 is a 2 out of 5, I think you're crazy, but fine, that's your opinion. And second of all, why are people taking shit like this personally? I didn't work on fucking – I don't work for Naughty Dog. I didn't work on Uncharted 3. Why the fuck do I give a shit if you hate a game?
Yeah, and Naughty Dog doesn't really give a shit either. They're still going to sell billions of copies and get billions of dollars.
Exactly.
You know, like, people – say what you will about, like, fucking review scores and shit, but you will buy a game. Believe me, if a game is out there and it's got like all these scores, it doesn't really matter what score it gets. People are still gonna fucking buy it,
right? Or rent it.
Yeah, that's a point. I try games either through demos or through rental, and then if I like it, I buy it. I don't give a shit what people say in their reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners probably care, so yeah. Listen to our reviews, and then, I don't know, if it sounds like a game you like, rent it.
Yeah, like, I don't really, like, I do sometimes, like, like, a lot of my gaming choices are kind of based on reviews, but, like, they're only from reviewers that, like, I trust. Like, I've gone to different sites, I gone to a bunch of different sites, read a bunch of different reviews, and found, like, certain people whose opinions match my own.
Right.
And so, but, like, so, like, and that's kind of how I always run with review scores based on stuff like that. But then, looking at, like, these guys, they aren't even, like, looking at reviews to see if they actually justify their opinion or not. They're not looking at anything except a score. And so, they kind of just need to shut the fuck up. Because, like, if you look through it, like, if you look through a review, and you, like, find key points in there that you disagree with, and then you go and bitch about there being trolls, or it's like, oh god, the swimming is, it's like, oh, just bitch about the swimming. And then you, like, rant about that for a bit. Then you kind of have some point. You know, you are counter-arguing someone's opinion of this game. Of trying to turn it around. But if you just look at the score, and, might I mention, a good fucking score, and just saying, Trollzor, you should be raped with the internet. The internet should just show up at your house and rape you violently at the anus.
Someone from Anonymous will just show up in a Guy Fawkes mask.
Yes. And, pound you in the anus while autoerotic asphyxiation with an Ethernet cable.
I picture the internet as a being looking like an old boxy computer monitor with a bunch of Ethernet cables coming out of the bottom of it as tentacles.
I see. So we're getting into hentai territory here.
I've seen enough hentai to know where this is going, but I picture the internet as more like the weird fucking Rubik's sphere from Demon Seed. Just like some weird thing that flies into the house and all of a sudden just unfolds and beats you to death. You know, just keeps going, whoa, 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 whoa. It also flies with wobble bass. You know, like as it unfolds, you can see Skrillex inside just dropping the bass. This ends beating just, whoa, 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 whoa.
To get back, that's somewhat of a topic here of people bitching about internet scores. Like, I don't mind. This is probably the last thing I'll say about this is I don't give a shit if, you know, that people go on bitching about this stuff. I mean, just have an argument to make. You know, just don't go on there and be like, you just got paid by them, or you know, don't be stupid about it, man. It's like if you disagree with someone's review. Find reasons why you disagree with a review and make, you know, a good argument for why you disagree with it. It's the people that are like, no, you're wrong, or you're just stupid, or you're just getting paid, or, you know, whatever. It's, those people are the ones that are fucking drive me crazy.
And also, keep in mind that a lot of these guys, well, like, every single person who ever said this, they hadn't actually played the game. Because all these were posted before the game was released.
That's the other thing too. Like I do it all the time. Also, where I'm like, oh, that's gonna suck, or I think that's gonna suck, or whatever. But when it's all said and done, I'm like, well, I haven't played it yet, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So moving on, what's he play?
The only other game that I really played. Well, I dabbled in Saints Row the Third a little bit while we were waiting on you. Didn't get too much into it.
Dude, I was in court, okay?
Oh, hey, no, it's cool. No, just saying.
Yes, I was trying to get a murderer convicted.
What did you do?
Yeah, you murdered someone?
No, I'm trying to convict someone of murder.
Oh, Jesus Christ, both of you, we're dealing with a murderer here.
I'm not a murderer. I'm acting as a lawyer in this trial.
Did you hear that? He was acting like a lawyer while he killed someone.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
I got Assassin's Creed and the Saints Row the Third around like 3 o'clock this afternoon. I went back to bed and then woke up around 6:30-ish. Was like, oh, we're gonna do this. Then I got your thing saying you're running late tonight, so I was like, oh, I'm gonna pop in these games, get them all set, you know, with their day one patches and play a little bit. So I'll play a little.
Wait, you have a PS3. Day one patches.
I don't mind patches. Like, I'll go make a sandwich or turn the channel and watch TV for 5 minutes while it downloads. I don't understand why people are like, why do I gotta do updates? It's like, fucking walk away for 5 minutes.
Take you 5 minutes? 360, they're done in like 20 seconds.
I don't know. I don't count. I don't sit down with the timer like,
which one's the system and more to do with the internet.
That's true, too. Like, people, okay, like with PS3 updates, people bitch about saying that it takes them a half hour, and I'm like, I'm done in a minute with my updates from a PS3. I don't know what the fuck place that you're living at where you got pizza boxes.
Your internet sucks shit. Stop playing online. You're making all of us lag out. Get the fuck off my network.
It's like, your internet is a shoelace tied to a telephone antenna. Shut the fuck up.
It's like, get out of the country then.
Yeah. Like, move to Sweden. They have like gigabytes per second there instead of just megabytes.
If you live on a dirt road, you're doing something wrong. Okay, but like, so
I live on a dirt road.
You're doing something wrong. Well, you're a murderer. So you're clearly doing something wrong.
The guy who's dead was doing something wrong. If he wasn't, he wouldn't be dead.
All he was doing wrong was not living.
Exactly.
It
wasn't my fault. He ran into my knife.
Oh, see, Jesus Christ, what a confession.
I just walk around with a knife, you know, just like, hey guys, check out my knife. Then turn around, and all of a sudden this guy just runs out of nowhere right onto it. Then backs up and runs back into it five more times. I don't know where the fuck he came from, dude. Like I said, I was just walking around the primary school, waving my knife around.
Waving it around.
It's like, hey kids, check out my awesome knife. It's shiny. Who wants candy? I have some in my van.
It's like you say, I was just firing my gun down the elementary school hallway, and that kid ran in the way.
Yeah. It's like Jesus Christ, how? It's like if the school can't keep track of where the special needs children are, then I have lost faith in our school system. Moving on.
So Saints Row the Third. I played just a little bit of it, basically just getting started.
Do you have the dildo bat?
I do not have the dildo bat, at least not yet.
Do you know they actually made like a bunch of those and they were selling for like $700?
Apparently they were sending them to people too.
Like sending them to actual game reviewers.
Yeah, Max Scoville, I was listening to the Comedy Button, and he was talking about getting one in the mail.
Yeah, Jim Sterling got one, and he had one on the Jimquisition. He was talking about, like, Grand Theft Auto, and, like, how everyone can have Grand Theft Auto, everyone can have, like, Saints Row, and everyone can be happy. And it's like, fucking, at the end, just dildo bat over the shoulder. Just, stroking it. Why can't we be real?
We'll get there. Don't worry.
But unless they like send out like a fucking dildo shotgun for Saints Row the Fourth.
I'm sorry that you can't have your dildo bat.
I wanted to beat someone with it. I wanted to just like walk up and down the campus of my school, just hey, what's up? Dildo bat over my shoulder.
Well, hopefully between now and when Saints Row the Fourth comes out, which is because THQ has already announced that they're making a fourth one, hopefully by then Death Door will be popular enough that we will get free shit from developers like that.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. We'll get a purple bat dildo.
And we might get paid.
Oh, that too.
That'll be nice.
Not from them, just...
You know, just from sponsors and viewers like you.
Yeah. People. We don't want to make it sound like we're sellouts to the development company. All of a sudden, every game's a 5 out of 5.
It's like, this game's a 5 out of 5. It's like, why? Because they paid us.
Yeah. Just because.
Yeah. It's like, Just Cause 3 gets a 5 out of 5. Why? Just because. They paid us.
I've been, to get back what I've been playing last game, motherfucking Skyrim.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one. Is that an indie game?
Yeah, it's a little game, small, not much to it.
Yeah. I heard there might be a dragon in it or something.
To be completely honest, apparently you can beat the main quest in like 2 hours, so it's short.
Yeah, I heard it's like one of those like sprite-based RPGs like Cthulhu Saves the World.
Yeah. Skyrim, man. You can do shit in that game. And yeah. It looks fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. What are you playing as?
Basically, I'm kind of like... how do I explain this? Because, like, what they did with this one, when you make a character, you can just do whatever you want, and whatever you do, those attributes will rank up.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the most part, I'm just playing... my character's a Nord.
Mm-hmm.
Human? Yeah, basically human. There's, like, I think, like, three different kind of human, quote-unquote.
Like, there's, like, human, elf, there's the lizard people, there's the cat people, there's, I think, vampires.
Yeah, there's no just... human. There's like Nord, Imperial.
Yeah, right. those are just dudes. You know,
Red Guard.
You know, Nords have kick-ass beards. Imperial Guards have, I don't know, blonde hair.
Yeah, but like it's just like there's like three different types of humans, or you know, classifications or whatever.
There are three different classes of human.
Basically, something like that. Yeah,
but it's still just like but it's still just human-ass human.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm playing Nords are the tall ones. And they're more resistant to cold. And Skyrim, the whole land of Skyrim is cold. And it's made up mostly of Nords. And some places are more racist towards other things like the lizards or the dark elves. There's one city that have a whole section where they make all the dark elves live, and it's called like the Gray Warden or something like that, or something. No, that's something else. It's like the Gray Section or something like that. Just something. It's like if it was like in our world, it'd be like all the African Americans would live there. It'd be called like the Black Section. It's just so like, oh God, I feel dirty hearing this person talk about this little nonchalant in this game.
So,
like,
so it's like ghetto?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
There's like a blood elf sitting on the corner drinking a 40 out of a paper bag with a sweet bandeezy.
nothing that stereotypical.
Some guy low riding just the car bumping, just boom, boom,
boom. However you can low ride a horse. I don't know.
The horse is on like his knees.
Yes.
You just chop its legs off, give it nubs.
Yeah. You just like it's like use a dragon. You just like use a dragon shout to just turn your horse into a fucking just like Camino or something.
You know what? Speaking of dragon shouts, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. Yeah. I thought those were going to be ridiculous, and the first one you get, I thought was kind of ridiculous, but I just recently got the fire one. And started using that one, and I'm like, all right, it's a little fucking goofy, I guess, but I'm breathing fucking fire. Like, done deal. I like it.
I shout, fire comes out. Done.
I've noticed, for me, like, the whole thing with the dragons in the sky thing was, it's supposed to be that there's infinite number of dragons, and they kind of just have their own AI, they're gonna do whatever they want, whenever they want.
Randomly generated dragons.
Yeah, and I don't find them to be too, they're random, but it's like, if I fast travel somewhere, one might pop up. But I haven't been in a situation where I'm just walking across, like, an open field and have one fly out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
It usually only happens when I fast travel somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's a city where there's two of them, two dragons laying in it. It's like, how the fuck did that happen? Like, I show up, and a dragon shows up, and I beat the shit out of it. And then later in the game, I fast travel there, and another one showed up, and I'm like, you don't see your buddy sitting here? Like, same thing's about to happen to you. Like, you're about to fucking meet him. And it's funny, because, like, at first, you know, it's cool that, like, when you kill a dragon, especially near a town or in a town, like, everyone will come out and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe you killed a dragon. You must be Dragonborn. Oh, you're so great. And then, like, the skeleton of the dragons is sitting there, and, like, you go back to that town or whatever, and people are just walking by it like it's, like, no importance. Like, they don't talk to you the same way anymore. They just go back to the way they used to talk to you, like, oh, so-and-so, yeah, he's an asshole, basically, or I work down over at this place. It's like, bitch, look, you were just praising me yesterday when I was here because I killed that dragon that you're standing by. Now you're kicking it out of your way and telling me where you work again. Come on. The guards, though, the guards, for the most part, you know, will still give you a little nod and be like, you're the dragonborn that I heard so much about.
Yeah, I'm going to do your show thing.
But yeah, Skyrim. Amazing game. God, I love playing it.
Review forthcoming.
Yeah, I think this weekend I'm going to write the review for that. I was actually thinking about doing it this past weekend, but I really didn't get much time with it. And like, I still haven't finished the main quest, and I'm not going to hurry to do so. I'm going to write the review with just a mindset of like what I have done with it, what I have played, what I have experienced. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a fucking awesome game, man. I have found one glitch. Well, I found, first of all, with the game starts out, you're a prisoner, a dragon shows up, shit happens, next you know, you're free. You come out of this like underground thing.
Well, and this doesn't sound familiar at all.
Right?
Yeah. Sounds like Oblivion cross with Merlin.
Well, I'm cutting a little bit out, but for the most part, it's exactly the same. So, you know, start out, you get out of this underground area, the dude's like, we should split up from here, even though later you show up at the same guy.
Wait, so you escape and the dragon shows up? Does a dragon help you escape?
No, he doesn't help you escape. One of the character that, okay, you're a prisoner, you're about to get your head chopped off.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon shows up, shit starts going down.
Is the dragon voiced by Patrick Stewart?
No. So this dude's like, hey, you can help us, basically. So he cuts you loose.
Is that dude voiced by Patrick Stewart?
No. Patrick Stewart is not in this game. As far as I know, so far, I haven't heard him. So he's like, follow me, you do shit. And, you know, cut to, you come out of this underground area. That guy says we should split up. And so I'm like, all right, well, he told me to go over here to talk to his uncle at this blacksmith shop. So I go up this path, and, like, I can continue following this path, which will probably wind around and get me to where I'm going. Or I can cut across these mountains and just get there. So I take one step off the path onto some rocks, and I get stuck in between the rocks. I'm like, fuck me, man. Like, 5 seconds into this game, free roaming, and I'm already stuck and I have to reload my last save.
That's kind of suck.
Yeah, I was instantly like, oh, God, they haven't learned. But that's the only time that's happened to me.
Like, remember, this is a Bethesda game.
Right, yeah. Well, I thought, I was hoping, you know, by now they've fixed a lot of those problems. And like I said, that's the only time that's happened to me so far, so maybe they have. I mean, it's not like Fallout 3, that was happening to me all the fucking time. So, so maybe they fixed it. And the other thing that has happened was there's a glitch during a mission where this guy... This wizard in the town's like, hey, everyone's having nightmares in this town. I know what's causing it. It's over at this temple over here. If you take me over there, we can take care of the shit and end it. So you follow him over to this temple. You walk in, and all of a sudden he disappears, and the icon shows up, you know, like way off on the map somewhere. And you're just in this, like, church area, you know, with, like, seats and everything. It's all broken down and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big statue in the back of it. Which, if you angle the camera just right while you're standing right next to it, when you angle the camera just right, your character will kind of go invisible. And if you do it just right while standing next to this, you can see through your invisible character to that wall and see that there's a doorway behind the statue. So I'm like, all right, clearly I got to move the statue. So I spent like an hour finding a switch, a lever, something. And I'm like, well, something's going on here. So I get on the internet, everyone's saying the game, that mission is glitched. That as soon as you walk in, you're supposed to. What's supposed to happen is you walk in after that guy, and that guy does something to make that statue move, and the two of you continue through. But everyone apparently is having glitches happen where the guy just disappears and stuck in that room. So that's the one glitch that I found in the game. Hopefully it'll, you know, get patched up or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Skyrim's fucking badass.
Yeah.
I have one. Oh, go ahead. Go. Ignore me.
No, Bobby, go ahead.
Oh. I was just going to say one short thing about Skyrim. I was playing some Oblivion to deal with the fact that I can't afford Skyrim. And, you know, it was actually working. I was playing along and I was forgetting about Skyrim. And so I was doing the Mage's Guild quest line. I was just finishing up. I was in Manamarco's lair and I opened this chest and what do I see? Skyrim Greaves. Like, motherfucker, now I'm thinking of Skyrim again.
Okay, so Shaq, play anything else?
Nope.
Okay. So, Bobby, what have you been playing?
All right, well, I got a couple games to talk about. I, of course, did play some Oblivion, as I was just saying, but that's mostly just to deal with the fact that I don't have Skyrim. I don't have anything new to say about Oblivion because I've beaten the entire game so many times. But I finished up Red Dead Redemption.
What do you think of that?
It's mostly a good game. It's pretty well set up. I like the open world feel of it. It does have the faults of a Rockstar game, as I said before. Like, sometimes your character will take cover in the most ridiculous spot where you're completely open from all sides, and then he won't move, and then you get shot to death.
And movement is just bad. Like you move around kind of like... It's kind of like a slightly higher fidelity movement system from Resident Evil 1.
Yeah, and especially when characters interact, it looks really bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Fable 3, but worse. But otherwise, it was a pretty enjoyable game. I really fucking hated the ending to it.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that. When you say you hated the ending to it, you know what? Let's get into spoiler alerts because this game's like 2 years old now, so fuck it.
Yeah.
Do you hate that John Marston gets killed or that you play as his son afterwards?
Kind of both. One, I hate that there's no warning that this is going to be – that the government agents are going to be there and you can't shoot them. Like, no matter how well you tag, you can't actually shoot the actual government agents.
Yeah.
I hate that, and yeah, I hated Jack Marston. Like, doing the whole on the ranch questline thing, I thought he was such a little dick. He, like, flip-flops from, like, I just want to make you proud, Daddy, to you're such a fucking asshole, Daddy. I'm just like, shut the fuck up. I wanted to shoot him time and time again.
His flip-flopping there is insane to me because, like, it's literally, like, one moment he's like, oh, yeah, I'm reading this book. It's about so-and-so. And his dad's like, I'm so proud that you're smart. I was like, well, thank you, Dad, but I want to be like you. And then instantly he could turn around and be like, I went off to hunt the bear because you won't let me do anything and you left me behind. It's like, what the fuck?
And he acts like he's constantly being abandoned. No, you were clearly arrested this one time by government agents. And this one time that you were arrested by government agents, your father left to deal with something so that he could get you back. Shut up, you little asshole. I want to fucking... There needs to be an option in that game to backhand Jack Marston.
to give him five across the eyes.
Then that game would really be enjoyable because I could fucking bitch slap Jack Marston. And then to play as Jack Marston, it's just insulting.
You had a mini game in there. Like all the standard mini games are like horseshoes, knifey finger stuff. But like for knifey finger, what it is you hold your hand down, and then what you have to do is you have to hit buttons to stab Jack Marston in the fingers over and over again. Horseshoes? You were just throwing giant horses at his head.
I love these ideas.
Yeah. And then for that one, and then for that one, like the side mission the Advocate kept doing for that guy who was like the huckster. He just supposed you can shoot, like you can shoot the fly off the ass of a horse. And they just have like Jack tied up to a post somewhere. It's like, all right, shoot him in the left nut.
You know what? I got the perfect mission for Jack Marston. You know, like or. Yeah, for Jack Marston as the kid. You remember when John Marston ran into – there's a mini mission or a side mission, however you want to say it, where you talk to this lady. She's like, my little boy, he went missing. And you go and find that little boy's shoe, and then you come to find out that some cannibal has eaten her child.
Yeah.
There should be a side mission where you give Jack to this guy. Like, there you go, dying out.
Yeah. Like, or there's just a mission where like you get sent into a den of leopard ladies, and then like mountain lion ladies, and all of a sudden they just all gang up on you at the same time. And, like you can't shoot any of them or you fail the mission. It's like oh Jack, don't shoot civilians. Or like he just glitches out and turns into one of those horsemen. And he just like spends the rest of the mission screaming in pain.
I will say this for playing as Jack Marston, that it was very relieving to go get revenge for your father's death.
Hmm. Okay. Bobby, what else you play?
Fear 2, which wasn't at all more impressive. I have a whole page of notes on Fear 2 to talk about.
Hmm. Well, don't rip on it too hard. I mean, without Fear 2, this wouldn't be happening. Well,
There is some good points here. There's just also a lot of bad. Let's see. Those are just some jokes. Da, 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 da. So yeah, I love the fact that they added an actual aim down sight. That was good.
Get some iron sights, kid.
Yeah, it's better than the previous games. You get a slightly smaller crosshair, and it looked less awkward. Favorite gun, probably the sniper rifle, useful. The cover system, how you can flip and move shit for your cover. That was amazing. I didn't like the lack of how many health packs you can carry. Only three seemed like a few. Especially considering most first person shooters now have regenerating health. This is one of the few that actually has a set amount of health, and you can only carry three of the health kits. That is kind of balanced out by the health boosters, though.
Now, with Fear 2, wasn't that kind of like... Didn't that game come out before the whole regenerating health thing became popular? Or no?
No, it was 2009. Regenerating health was popular by then.
Yeah.
Like it was, I didn't know it was that new of a game. Yeah. I was thinking it was like 2004, 2005.
No, it came out smack in the middle of... I think the original Fear came out like 04, 05.
Oh, wow, yeah. Okay.
I noted that Fear 1 is a lot scarier, at least first playthrough. There's more random stuff that can happen to you in Fear 2, but the actual storyline of Fear 1 is a lot scarier. And specifically, Alma is scarier as a little girl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, that's...
As the naked chick.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing, like, within Fear 1, like, that was, like, the first introduction we had to this character, so all we knew of her was she was just a small little girl. And that was kind of it, but like Fear 2, the mystery's kind of been taken away. Like, we know what the fuck is going on. We know who Alma is. We know everything that's happening.
Yeah, and she's just in general not as scary as the naked thing walking around. I mean, yeah, she tries to repeatedly rape you, but
and she succeeds.
Yes. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, like one of the things that kind of undermines it is the middle age one, where so there are three Almas that are kind of rolling around all the time. There's the young one in the red dress. There's the old ass one who looks kind of like that old lady from The Shining. And then there's the one that's in her late teens, early 20s. It's kind of less scary when she's kind of hot.
Yeah, I noticed that. At first when I saw her, I'm like, wow, they just cleaned Alma up way too much. But I'm like, oh no, she's switching between two personalities. But yeah, it is a lot less scary like that. She's like, okay, there's a naked chick walking at me.
Sweet.
This is scary. How?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh no, the hot naked chick is on top of me. And there's a quick time event thing. I was like, hippie. It's like, just give it a minute.
It's just
almost
just,
there.
Just, smack a bitch.
almost there. And done. And boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah, that's about all that happens with Alma. Is she jumps on top of you and then you smack a bitch.
Yes. Keeping Pimp Hand strong.
And that's not scary. I wish they did that with Jack Marston, except not the jumping on top of you part, but the smacking part.
So just every once in a while, just like a renegade moment in fucking Mass Effect 2, where it's like in the middle of a cutscene, you just pull left trigger and then you just smack Jack Marston across the face. You know, like you're choosing the like morality of everyone else in the cutscene.
Yeah. What else? Those freaky crawly things were a little bit freaky. So they added a bit more of the scary factor to the game. They're also annoying as shit.
Yeah.
Not as annoying as the assassins, though. Fucking assassins. I hate the goddamn assassins.
Fucking assassins.
But not as much as I hate the remnants, because I sit there shooting them for 20 fucking minutes and they're still not dead. Thank God there's only 3 of them. The flashlight no longer having a really short life was useful. Mm-hmm. I like rats exploding. And specifically liked that you can play the piano both by hitting it and shooting it.
Yeah, okay, Ed. Magical bullets.
Playing the piano with the bullets. But yeah, any game, if there's a piano in it, I think I should be able to play it.
Those bullets are masters of unlocking. To those of you who get the Resident Evil reference.
So, yeah, I guess just a couple glitches and things I found interesting about the game. There was this really great glitch where I blew somebody up, and their intestines just kind of looked like they were trying to bounce out the door. Just like there was this gut part hanging up in midair, and then intestines trailing to the floor, and it was bouncing, and it was just bouncing towards the door, which was closed, and it's just like, the intestines are trying to bounce out the door.
I don't know why, but when you said that, I instantly pictured Steve Martin and Dan Aykroyd doing the Wild and Crazy Guys as they do their little shimmy out the door.
We are two Wild and Crazy Guys.
I don't know why that popped into my mind when you said that. It's totally unrelated.
And just when you first see Alma walking around naked and the way the blood spatter is, I could not stop Ninja Kitty from making period jokes constantly. Just like, it's just that time of the month for Alma. It's no wonder she's so bitchy. Oh, just look at this bathroom stall. There's blood all over the floor. Alma, they make products for this now. And that's what I heard pretty much for a good chunk of the game. Which apparently the murders were just to cover up that blood.
Yeah, it's like Alma was never taught what the period was, so she thinks it's bad, so then she just kills people to cover up her blood. It's like, I didn't do anything, nothing's fine. He's coming out of me, I'm fine.
I almost forgot to mention my all-time favorite moment of the game, and that's at one point, just before you enter that final base place where you have your showdown with Alma, you're outside in the armor personnel carrier, and you're using the turret, and then just the rock music starts, and the guys are flooding in, and you got the Mexican going all making all his fucking A comments. I just thought that was a beautiful part of the game.
I love that game.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm not sure if I'd like the third one. It's pretty good.
I heard that the third one is absolute shit.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. And I thought this one was pretty good. It's not amazing, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, like, tell me if you think this is weird. Paxton Fettel, the main character from Fear One's brother, is a ghost, but he can get shot to death.
Wait, yeah, he's a ghost and gets shot to death.
Yes. Yeah, he's a ghost, he can like possess other soldiers, but he can be shot to death.
See, that's the one reason why they should have been like, how about we don't do this?
Yeah. It's like, make him like the invincible player who can only like interact with environmental objects and who can like occasionally, like, you know, possess somebody. They get shot, then he just rolls around as a ghost for a little while and can't repossess somebody for like 2 minutes.
Oh.
So yeah, that sounds exceptionally stupid. So yeah, now I'm definitely sure I'm not going to play Fear 3.
Plus, like, from what I've seen of the game, it looks kind of like rip-off Half-Life 2 levels.
Hmm.
Yeah, it looks like you're like rolling through the sewers of City 17. And there's also this really weird thing. It's like called Psychic Link, where like you just kind of roll up on a button. There's like occasionally like you'll see like a body laying around with smoke coming out of it. Run up to it, hold X, and then you get like Psychic Link, 1500 points. It never tells you what that is.
Never. Okay.
Yeah, the guy who was like playing it, he like looked it up in the menu, tried to look up in the instruction manual, looked it up, like tried to find it in the game. There's no explanation for what the fuck Psychic Link is. Yeah, so Bobby, what else you play?
Actually not a whole lot else. I played a bit of Left 4 Dead 2. I played the current mutation, Confoggle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of good, actually, because it's basically a slightly harder version of Versus, mm-hmm. which I mostly get annoyed with the mutations just being slightly harder versions of things. But mm-hmm. the great thing with Confoggle is that it's slightly harder, so you don't get all the stupidity that you get on Xbox Live. A lot of those people are weeded out because they don't want to play a harder version of Versus, they just get frustrated, and so they leave, and so you're there with some actually intelligent people, you can actually get through a level, the other team isn't raping you, because I have bad luck when it comes to Xbox Live. I am not a particularly bad player, I'm not an amazing player, but I'm not a bad player at all.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of slightly high average, I would say, when it comes to Left 4 Dead, and I always get stuck with the really shitty teams. This is my bad luck, which is why I enjoy Confoggle, because I don't have to worry about that so much.
Hmm. Okay, that it?
That about does it for me, yeah.
Okay, so I guess on to me. So, kind of big news, I got another review code.
Cool.
And I've been playing some Chrono Cross. So this is a... put up by Square Enix. It's a re-release of a 2000 PS1 game. Sequel to Chrono Trigger. And just the reason that I actually went through the effort of emailing Square to try to get a copy of this game is because I was looking over some stuff and it's like, I just saw big blue letters, no random encounters. Because, like, kind of the benchmark for me for like standard JRPGs, the ones that I always end up comparing everything to is Personas 3 and 4.
Right on.
Those are my, like, that is my be-all and end-all of JRPGs. Like, I'll always end up comparing it, any JRPG I play, to those two games. And so, yeah, so, like, what you're doing is you're just, like, walking around an area, and then you'll just see, like, some weird monster thing just kind of standing there and moving around a bit. And so if you actually look at its patterns and, like, figure out how it's moving and where, you actually be able to avoid fighting entirely. Yeah, so I actually really like that. But one thing I fucking hate is the movement system. So this is kind of, like, around, I think, when, like, the PS1 was, like, first came out or something. Like, I think it came out, like, either, like, 2000 or 1999 or something. I can't remember when PS1 came out, but... So... It does not use analog control at all. It's all done with the D-pad. But that's weird when you are in a, like, isometric 3D environment. Because...
Yeah,
but what's weird is, like, sometimes you move, you figure, like, alright, so I hold up, I'll move toward the top of the screen. I hold, like, down, I'll move toward the bottom of the screen. The axes of where, like, positive and negative horizontal and vertical movement change depending on what screen you're on. And it never tells you which way is which. So you're like, all right, I'm gonna try going up. Hold up, I go to the left. I'm like, what the fuck? So yeah, that's fucking stupid. But I've kind of been liking the game. Like, the story is really weird. So when you start the game, you can name your character. I named mine Dead. And so you are just kind of hanging out with so you're just like this kid. So the kid, in this case, named Dead. He's hanging out with some friends of his, and it's like, you know what would be really awesome? Some Komodo scales for a necklace I want to make. So you go off, you kill a bunch of Komodo pups and get some scales and then bring them to this chick. And then once you get, like once you're there on the shore, you start hearing voices. You start hearing someone calling your name. Look at the side, you see a giant wave come in, then all of a sudden, a big ass glowing rune appears on the ground, and then you wake up on the beach without your friend there. Then you go home and no one remembers who you are. Because it turns out you died 10 years ago. So you actually go to visit your own grave. And since my name is Dead, it's like, the dead boy died 10 years ago. Which is actually kind of fun. I like that. And so, yeah, then people are, like, tracking you down, saying, like, oh, shit, it's a ghost. We got to get this guy. No, because they ain't afraid of no ghosts.
That's right.
Yeah, so story's kind of cool, I guess, so far. It's got a decent look to it. Like, it's kind of standard. It's kind of standard, like, Square shit of, like, detailed characters with not-so-detailed backgrounds. Like, it's weird, because, like, there's some really weird disconnect when you're actually looking at it. Because you have your character who's like a full rendered 3D model running around on what looks like matte paintings. And so it always just looks really weird seeing like 3D monsters roll around on what looks like a hand-drawn environment. And the combat system is actually really good. So for each character in your party, you can have I think maximum of 3 party members. You start... Each character has, like, a certain amount of stamina. Each attack you do takes up a certain amount of stamina. So you can only do a certain number of attacks each turn. And for, like, magic and stuff... Well, magic and items, actually, because both are labeled under elements. So instead of using, like, a mana bar or something like that, what you do is each hit gets you a certain level on this little scale thing that's right underneath your health meter. And each level in the scale, right now I have 3 levels for each character, each level is assigned different elements. And so then each hit you do, like you hit a guy 3 times, you get full 3 levels. And then you can throw fireballs, shoot aqua, like shoot water at him, do lightning, or heal yourself, which is what I have right now. And I actually kind of like that. It's always, like, having to manage your health and your mana at the same time is kind of annoying in RPGs. So with this, all you have to do is just manage your health.
Right on.
Yeah, and something that's actually kind of annoying, but actually they kind of like, is effects that, like, do damage over time. So, two of my characters got poisoned once. So in fight, they're fighting, and then they get poisoned, oh shit, and then every couple hits, they take a certain amount of damage. Then you get out of combat, and your characters are still poisoned. So every step you take... deals 1 damage to you. So if you take a certain, so if you take enough steps, you will bring yourself down to 1 health. But you can never actually die while rolling around. Like, you can never actually die in the overworld map or like dungeon map. You can only die from poison in combat.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah, but I kind of like it.
Well. I can see where it's more annoying if you could die in other ways, because you'd be like, cool shit, just let me make it to the store or whatever to get healed, and then you die, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it just adds, like, an actually kind of cool, like, resource management kind of thing, where you're like, right, so I had this many healing items there, they replenish this many health, and if I take this amount of steps, then I will have that left, then I'll only have this much health left. So you use this many health items to get up to max health again. So just kind of, you just, like, counting the number of steps you're taking to make sure that you don't run out of, make sure that you don't run out of health before you run out of healing items. And I actually kind of like that. That's like another level to it that I really like. And yeah, that's kind of all I got right now. I'm only like 2 or 3 hours in. The game's like 40-50 hours long.
Whoa!
It's Square Enix. Why are you surprised?
Yeah, dude, it's fucking Square. It's a JRPG.
I don't know why I'm surprised.
Dude, I play JRPGs that lasted me 72 hours.
Look,
Persona 3, I'm 56 hours into it.
Well, I've only, the only JRPGs I've ever played that I can think of offhand is Final Fantasies, and the only one of those that I liked was Final Fantasy VII. So I don't play much JRPGs.
Clearly. But yeah, so I'm only a couple hours into it. I will be playing some more of it. I will be reviewing it fully. Right now, the game's kind of sitting at around like a 3.5. So let's see if it gets better. I also played some more Alice Madness Returns. It's Alice Madness Returns. It's got kind of janky platforming with some okay combat and everything I hate about Unreal Engine.
I don't remember the last time that we talked about this game, if I mentioned much on me playing this game.
Yeah, you said it was very confusing.
Yeah. Being that I never played the first one, I think is probably the majority of why it was confusing to me, but I'm not sure. I just didn't like the game, and I didn't give it much of a chance at all. I played, all of a half hour of that game. I got a knife as my weapon,
The Vorpal Blade.
Yeah.
Which, Bobby, you should know what that is.
Yes, I know what the Vorpal Sword is.
Yeah, but no, it's not. It's not Vorpal Sword. It's Vorpal Blade.
Vorpal Blade.
Yes, because this is the kitchen knife.
Yeah. Ah.
Yes, it looks like something Michael Myers would do if he doodled on it. It's like Michael Myers' brain. It's like a Michael Myers style knife, but then some emo kid came along and drew roses all over it.
But I know the basis of a Vorpal Blade, having looked a lot into fairy tale stuff like fables. And stuff.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of counting the seconds down until I meet the Jabberwocky, because in a lot of the trailers I've seen, and even in the opening cinematic, the Jabberwocky was mentioned. He wasn't actually mentioned. It was his face just staring at you. So I'm thinking he's gonna be in it. He might be behind the weird cathedral train. But I just really want to see the Jabberwocky. You know, for those of you who don't know, Jabberwocky is a thing, is like an evil demon worm dragon thing that can transform into a tree.
Huh. Now I kind of want to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't know what the Jabberwocky is, just watch Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. Explains it.
Yes,
I don't want to see it that bad.
Okay, or read Grimm Fairy Tales Return to Neverland. Is read any other Neverland stuff that has the Jabberwocky featured heavily in it. And it's actually good. It's got hot chicks showing their boobs a lot. People get murdered.
Done deal. Sold.
Yes. The Cheshire Cat, instead of being some scrawny little dude that has no bones, it takes the Disney version, then exposes him to gamma radiation or something, so it turns into the Hulk.
Hey, you dead man.
Yeah.
You had me sold at hot chicks showing their boobs.
Yeah.
Continue no further. Done.
Yeah, it's really fucking good. But yeah, so Madness Returns is just kind of bleh. Again, this is also sitting around a 3.5 for me. So then I also got some more stuff from the Humble Voxatron debut. They added some more shit. They added a Halloween update for The Binding of Isaac. I'm not sure if I talked about this on the site. But now you can get tiers issued out that proc. And so for those of you who don't know, procking is when a weapon deals elemental damage.
Okay.
So I got this one thing, it was acid tiers. Where you shoot them out, then every fourth or fifth tier just procs and deals acid damage. And then the people are actually infected with acid, and they get slowly burnt and hurt while you're still shooting them. There's another one that shoots out a ghost ball or something that freezes enemies after you hit them enough times with it. So that's pretty cool, and that's actually really useful. There's just one kind of card that I got. I forget what it is. But this might have been in the original game, but you hit it, you grow five times the size of yourself and grow giant demon horns. And there's also a new character that you can play as. I'm guessing it's Satan. Yeah, because, like, as you're going along, you can unlock new characters by, like, meeting certain criteria in the game. Like, the first character you unlock, you get by getting 7 heart containers. The second one is by collecting 55 pennies. And this one is by making 2 deals with the devil.
Nice.
Yes, which I have yet to do in this game. Like before I got the update, I actually did do that. There's one game where I got 3 deals with the devil. But now this one, I'm lucky to find one devil room. Yeah. And then finally I got Gish, which is another game from Edmund McMillan, who's half a Team Meat. You play as a ball of tar. So what happens is Gish and his girlfriend, who's a human, are walking through the park, and all of a sudden, a giant evil thing from underground grabs your girlfriend, and then you have to go down to the sewers and try to find her.
Nice.
And it is actually pretty cool. Like, so you're playing as a ball of tar, you have basically 3, you basically can move, you can jump, and then you can do 3 motions. You can either make yourself heavy, which lets you, like, sink down in the water and, like, crush platforms beneath you. You can go slide, where you just, like, lose all cohesion, so you can just, like, slide through, like, tight tubes fine. And there's stick, which is just climb walls. And so it's just you trying to get, coins, trying to get through the level, and yeah, it's fun. I like it.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, so that's all I play this week.
So let me ask you real quick about this indie bundle. When you say they keep adding the stuff to it, is it just like, is it cost? I mean, I know that it's basically pay what you want for it, but is it like pay what each time,
no,
pay what you want for it, then
no,
they add stuff?
No. If you buy it once, then everything that gets added on gets given to you.
So basically it's just like free DLC?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like, hey, you bought this, and then every once in a while it's like, hey, we got this other shit. You want it?
And, it's kind of cool, yeah, that they do that.
Yeah, it is really cool. Like, these guys, the humble bundle people, are fantastic. I wish I could have paid more for like the Humble Voxatron debut, but all I had in my PayPal was 25 cents.
Right on.
Yeah, so these guys are awesome. And Voxatron, I've been playing some of that. It's actually really cool, but it could use a better control scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I've been trying to, I contacted Lexalawful, who are the guys that made it, trying to get like an interview with them, talking about it. But they have yet to email me back.
Yeah, I think with me, when you keep giving me these PR people's email address, I think my email address basically like totally disregards, you know. Or it makes them disregard anything that I email anyone.
You're just on their block senders list.
Yeah.
Probably at this point. Yeah. We would do that whole thing with Metacritic, mm-hmm, and you heard back. I never did.
Hmm. Wait, are you using your Yahoo or are you just using your Yahoo, or have you actually got your Death Store one up and running?
I have not gotten my Death Stores up and running.
Okay, so I'm gonna have to email Chet. I'm gonna have to email Sonic about that.
Okay, yeah, I know we talked about this a while back. I don't know what I did wrong. I did something. I don't know. I just don't know what I'm doing, I guess. Like, I've tried getting it to work with my Gmail account and my Yahoo account, and I can't.
Okay. Okay, well then, so let's move on to new releases for this week. Well, for the next 2 weeks. For this week, the week of November 14th, 2011, we have Saints Row the Third.
Wait a minute. Are we going to do news?
Oh, yeah. Fuck, I forgot about news. I thought, like, it's been a while since we've done one of these. I can't remember what came first or left. I can't remember what came first or whatever.
Okay. I mean, we can mix it up if you want.
Now, let's go with news. So, this one is kind of movie news, but it's really the video game, so shut the fuck up. So, do you guys remember Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vaguely.
So this is a, like, so Carmen Sandiego was kind of like the best educational game ever. it was like a big part of the childhood. Like a lot. Like I remember just like in my primary school library, just playing Carmen Sandiego for hours on end.
I've heard about this story in other places and people talking about this as a game. I don't remember this being a game. I just remember it being a television show.
Yeah, it was a television show, but it was based off the series of games.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, so, Lily, you don't know Carmen Sandiego. She's like some world-renowned thief, and the entire game is you trying to track her down. And obviously they had an animated series. But now they're doing something bad. Very, very, very bad. Yes, so the Carmen Sandiego property is going to be turned into a live-action film, which will be produced and possibly star Jennifer Lopez.
Oh.
Why her?
I don't know, because, she'll work for cheap.
I guess.
It's like, hey, Carmen, what are you doing? It's like, hey, Jennifer, what are you doing? Album? Oh, isn't that cute? You still think he can sing?
So I gotta assume, being this Jennifer Lopez, her character's just gonna walk around and let everyone know that she's from the Bronx and she remembers that she's from the Bronx, right?
That, well, it's the block.
Like, oh, I came from the ghetto in New York City or Jersey or whatever the fuck it is that she's from. Yes.
She is Jenny from the block. Not from the Bronx. If she were from the Bronx, she probably would have beaten someone to death by now. Yeah, this is just some bullshit. I mean, like, I would mind if they actually did a live-action Carmen Sandiego thing, but do it well.
Well, yeah, I'm talking to Jennifer Lopez, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. So, Minecraft, the digital form of crack, has now officially gone gold.
Really?
Yes, it is done. It is ready for release. It'll be coming out this Friday.
What changes have they made or whatnot?
It says, according to this article, just some minor tweaks. Nothing really great. Nothing really that big.
Last I heard was the last update that they did that I heard of is like there's empty towns. And the whole point of that is at some point in time that these empty towns are going to be populated with NPCs, and you will be able to get quests from some of the NPCs there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But none of that's like put into the game right now, so you just go, you just wander around and you come across this like ghost town with nobody in it.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll be for later stuff. But like Notch, the creator of Minecraft, announced on his Twitter feed that the official 1.0 client for Minecraft is out. And, you know, he said, like, and Notch said that, like, there will be some tweaks, but this is, like, there will be some tweaks, like, later on, like, when it actually releases. But with this client, you can just, go get it right now. And he's actually encouraging reviewers to review the game based on this 1.0 client.
You have to get on the phone with Darkstar.
Yes, or, yes. Yeah. He's already released his Minecraft review, though. Gave it a 5 out of 5.
Right on.
And
I feel the game's too expensive at $20. I don't know.
Oh. So, moving on. So, Sony, when they actually released the PSP Go, that their big thing, they had some kind of plan to, for transferring your like actual retail physical copies of games to get the digital copies from the PSN. But unfortunately the PSP Go was a piece of crap. So they kind of shelved that plan. But now, with the Vita looming around the corner, they decided to try to boot it back up again. So, being called the UMD Passport in Japan, what players will do is they will, like, from a list of featured games, they will be able to register their UMDs on the PSN and then pay a small fee to access the digital copy and then download those directly onto their Vita.
Wait a minute. So when you say small fee, you're telling me that if I already have this one game and I want to be able to download it from PSN so I could not have to use the UMD, I'm going to have to pay?
Yes.
But I already bought the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but now you are now we're getting a different copy of the game, which then takes bandwidth or server or something.
But PSN's free and all that shit, so...
I'm going to mention this because it's also of grave importance to gaming in Canada. There was just today a CRTC ruling about internet billing, where basically the main piece of evidence is how unbelievably cheap bandwidth is to provide.
Well, I don't fucking know, dude. It's a... some shit. I don't fucking know, okay?
By the way, Canadian gamers rejoice. The meter is not being introduced.
Okay, so, well, and this small fee is not going to be a flat rate. It's going to vary from game to game.
That's even worse. So you're telling me because if I buy Harvey Birdman, attorney at law, I'm going to only have to pay like probably 50 cents, but if I buy something like fucking Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, I'm going to have to pay five?
More, actually. So,
so the
prices right now that were announced, they seem to be hovering between 500 yen and 1500 yen, which in USDs is between $6.50 to $20.
No. Oh my god, $20.
Yep. 20 bones.
That's out, they're outside of their fucking mind, man. Like, I love Sony. I love Sony to a point where everyone loves to call me a Sony fanboy. But this is absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, at some point it'll just be cheaper, it'll be just cheaper to rebuy the game on PSN.
Right, yeah. Oh, that's stupid. That's just fucking ridiculous.
Yes. Balls.
Yes. Yes. And while this program is available in Japan, it has not been announced to be coming to anywhere outside Japan.
Probably because they're the only ones that's stupid enough to do that.
Japanese balls.
They're not round.
Yeah. And so... Sony also is not forcing publishers to do this. He's not forcing them to have their games featured on this list. Like what it is publishers they sign up with the thing, and then all their games that are available on UMD and digital download then get put into this program. Publishers that don't sign up don't get their games like this. So then, if you want to buy their game again on the Vita, you have to actually go there and buy it on the Vita.
Okay, but is Sony forcing them to make this charge?
No, this is all for Sony. Like the money is just to pay Sony to do their shit.
Okay. So you're basically saying, or the way I'm taking this is as though this $6 to $20 charge will be there, that it's actually up to the publishers to decide what to charge, if anything?
No, it is up to Sony it is Sony's decision to charge people for this.
Okay, alright.
Yes, they put the price point at the things. Like, the publishers, what they do is, they sign up for the thing, which means they sign up for it, thing they're doing, then all their games which are available on both UMD and digital download get added into this program. If they don't sign up for it, then even if you have the UMD copy, you will still have to buy a digital copy of the game no matter what.
Wow.
Yeah, so let's say that Atlas didn't sign up for it. So you have a disc copy of disc copy of Persona 3. There's a digital copy of Persona 3 on the PSN.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, I'm getting the Vita. I want to be able to play Persona 3 on my Vita. Then you have to go in and buy another copy of Persona 3 from the PSN.
Oh my god.
Yes, but if you were part of the project or whatever, then you just register the UMD, then pay I'm guessing $10. it's gonna be between 10 and 20. Pay that fee and then you just download it from there.
This hurts me.
Yes. Yes, and so, as I was saying, Sony is not forcing some football publishers, but some companies like Capcom, Sega, and Square Enix have already signed up for the program by themselves.
Those are those are developing companies that would. Especially Capcom.
Okay, moving on. Steam got hacked.
Really?
Yes. An anonymous group of users, or just a single user, accessed Steam's message boards and obtained access to a Steam database in addition to the forums.
Wow.
Yes. But, so, Gabe Newell, founder, he released a statement saying that they are looking, and the company, and Valve has not found any evidence of credit card fraud. So, as of now, Valve is saying that your credit card information is safe. They are, however, recommending that you change your password.
Oh.
Well, it's a good thing I don't actually, like, do anything on Steam, like, buy anything. So I have no remotely vital information on there whatsoever.
I don't use a credit card when I buy shit on Steam, so I basically he will not be named to buy me shit, and I just pay him in cash.
That works.
Yeah.
After the PSN hack and all the fucking hoops that I jumped through, like, because, like, at first they're like, oh, you might want to change your password, so I changed my password. And then they're like, oh, we found out through this website a couple of guys was doing some tinkering around, and they found out that hackers can still find out your password by having your date of birth and email address. So they're like, you might want to change your email address. So then I went and created a new email address just for my PSN that not even my own mother knows. And it's I don't have the energy for this, man. Like, can we all fucking just stop this shit about hackers are cool or deserve any kind of fucking gratification for anything that they've ever done and just finally come out and say that hackers are pieces of fucking shit that do nothing but fucking bad for the fucking internet and for the communities of everything and just start fucking hauling these assholes out into the street and shooting them in the fucking head, please? Can we just do that? Yeah.
I think you are having a bit of a single-minded view for hackers. I mean, there are hackers who specialize in, you know, dealing with hackers, and then Anonymous isn't always such a bad group.
Yeah, Anonymous are actually pretty cool. Like they brought down the Scientology website. They fucked with the Westboro Baptist Church people.
About that, I don't fucking care. Let those people do what they want to fucking do. If they want to have their opinion of being Scientology or they want to be Westboro Baptist assholes, and yes, I don't agree with them fucking going out and protesting fucking funerals, but let their fucking have their feelings be what they are on the internet. That's what the fucking internet is for. It's freedom of speech. I don't give a shit. The hackers don't do anything fucking useful. They're fucking pieces of shit.
Not really. Like
no,
again,
they are.
Yeah, but again with Anonymous, they are all about like freedom of information. What they do is they haven't actually hacked anyone to get personal information.
They haven't. My information got my shit. I had
$150. That wasn't Anonymous.
Bullshit. It was from they hacked the PlayStation Network, and then all of a sudden I had $150 of my money fucking spent in Florida.
No, look, here's what happened. Sony got hacked. Uh-huh. Then a few days later, they said, oh, look, we found this thing that said Anonymous did it. Then Anonymous denied doing it.
Right.
Anonymous didn't happen.
Just believe Anonymous now. They're a bunch of fucking liars and thieves, but we're just going to believe them when they just say it.
I'm going to believe them.
It
doesn't agree with their principles.
Okay, here's an example. There is a rich corporate motherfucker who basically said, oh yeah, I'm going to bring down Anonymous. They didn't rob him. They could have, and they didn't.
You're right, they robbed me instead.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
Why are they going to steal your $150 and leave this guy's $150 million alone, you know?
Because Sony doesn't have their fucking credit cards on fucking PlayStation Network.
Yeah, like the entire thing, with Anonymous, their whole thing is, you know, we want freedom of information and we do it for the lulz. And a lot of the guys in that are part of Anonymous are gamers. So bringing down the PlayStation Network, a gaming-based server that is probably a big part of all of their lives, does not seem it would be very lol-worthy.
Okay, one thing I will say about Anonymous, though, is you have the same problem that you have with the dollars. You don't know who everybody is, and some people in there might have bad intentions and learn the hacking skills and use them wrongly. So I cannot say that all of Anonymous is absolved, but I very much doubt that Anonymous as a group was responsible for that.
Yes, maybe like one guy, maybe like two guys from Anonymous, and like, I don't know, three guys from Lulz Sick, who are just assholes.
You can't say that that they could have some bad people in it when they obviously do. After, like, months after the PSN thing happened, all of a sudden Anonymous was starting to fucking fall apart at the seams, where all of a sudden these people from Anonymous were pointing fingers at each other saying, so-and-so did this. Oh, yeah, well, so-and-so did this. And then all of a sudden it came, you know, all this information was fucking blowing up about shit that Anonymous was fucking, you know, giving credit to, if you want to say, or taking blame for, or however you want to say it, for each other. And they're like, fine, yeah, I did do this, but you did that. And it's like, all this horrible shit that they were doing, they're fucking just outing each other out for it. And it's like, wow, look at all the bad shit you've done, and you're just eating, just basically cannibalizing yourself as an organization doing this. So, I mean, you can't say that they might have some people doing bad shit in it when it's very clear that they do have bad people doing bad shit in Anonymous.
Well, I don't think I exactly meant might. I meant you can't tell, so there's always a possibility. And with a group like a hacker group, the possibility would be very high. So, yeah, there's some bad people in there. It's a big organization. Just the law of averages says there's some assholes in there.
Look, I mean, fine. I mean, maybe they're not all bad people, but whatever it is that they're doing, they're hacking and they're causing problems for someone that they don't need to be doing, and they're more hurtful than helpful. They need to fucking stop. They're assholes. Hackers do nothing fucking useful. They just create headache for people, or they fucking steal identities and take money and shit like that. I mean,
I'm gonna say, okay, with the exception of white hat hackers, which are basically people who hire themselves as hackers to stop hackers.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, okay, look.
Yeah, that's
there are some exceptions.
Pretty much
too.
The only guaranteed exception.
But then, like, you know, when you hear about, like, after Kinect first came out and people were having videos up of they hacked the Kinect to do all kind of crazy shit with it, it's like, you're not hurting anyone. It's not like you're giving you're not making Microsoft lose money on the Kinect by showing people, look what I can do by hacking the Kinect. Mm-hmm. It's just, I was able to do this. Now you can do it too. You know, they're not hurting anyone. They're just showing something you can do, and I don't mind that. I just like the hackers that, you know, like, obviously, you know, like websites, or I'm sure Steam has people that work for them, and internet companies like Best Buy and your Amazons, they have people that work for them that know how to hack to help stop hacking. Like the whole GeoHots thing. GeoHots did what he did because he wanted Sony to hire him.
Mm-hmm.
But he went about it completely the wrong way, and he was an asshole for doing it.
And they challenged him to a fucking rap battle.
Yeah. And it's just like, if hackers didn't hack, then these hackers that are working for these companies wouldn't have to hack. And you can make the argument that then these people would be out of jobs, but I'm sure they're computer literate enough to do other jobs, work for these companies, do something else with the computer.
Hmm. Okay, so moving on.
Sorry to go on that huge tangent about hackers, but...
Okay, well, more news. Another Call of Duty is coming out next year.
Of course.
Hooray!
Treyarch. Again.
Wait. The Infinity Ward does the Modern Warfare, right?
Yeah.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, it alternates game to game. Yeah, like, one game is done by Infinity Ward, the next game is done by Treyarch, then it goes back to IW, then Treyarch. It just goes back and forth.
Right.
Yes, Treyarch has been doing a lot of the ones that are based in, like, World War II and, like, past era stuff. Like,
oh, so, like, the original ones, which are really, really good.
No, like, I think it's been, I think it was, I think Infinity War did, like, 1, 2, and then went to 4, then did Modern Warfare 2, and then Treyarch did 3... and Black Ops and stuff after, like, they did 3, then World at War, then Black Ops.
See, that's not so great.
Well, yeah, and Treyarch is also hiring engineers to, quote-unquote, bring its highly successful game to a new console. So I'm guessing Black Ops for the Wii U?
Probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
What other console are they going to bring it to?
I don't know.
Well, unless they're starting to work on it. Maybe they're starting to work, or maybe they're starting to do work for their next Call of Duty game on the net. Well, no, that wouldn't make sense because the new console isn't going to come out next year.
Oh,
yeah, I think the next console's the next actual big console thing is going to be happening to like 2014 to like between 2014 and 2016.
Really, that long?
But
it's going to be within the next 5 years.
Well, I'm kind of agreeing with
they
want to
go the handheld route.
If they go the handheld route, then it's either be for the Vita or the brick of shit.
Probably yeah. The Vita. The brick of shit does have two analog sticks now.
Brick of shit.
It doesn't have two analog sticks, it has two circle pads.
One's a freaking stick.
Yeah, so, moving on. So, along with another Call of Duty coming out next year, there's another Assassin's Creed coming out next year.
Yes.
Yeah, so with Revelations, the newest one, ending the Ezio and Altair storylines, I'm guessing that next year we're going to get one that's focusing either on, like, strictly on Desmond or is focusing on a different assassin. Maybe one of the ones who was in that big-ass room.
Either one of those would be really cool, although I must say I would really like one that actually just focuses on Desmond.
Yes, what I would like is actually, what I think was kind of cool, I think I pitched this on the show before, but what I would like is one that is like a story about Desmond, but as he's going along, like he starts having those temporal flashbacks where he's like out of the Animus, but still like going back in time. And like, that's how he learns new skills. He's going along doing his assassin shit. It's like, oh wait, I gotta get in here. I don't know how to. Then all of a sudden flashback and he's like playing as like that poison chick. Who's like, and like, does a couple missions as her to learn how to use poison and shit properly, and then just goes along and has those skills.
Even better, he goes through flashbacks and then he comes back to the real world to find that he's murdered a bunch of random people who he thought were Templars.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, just has a complete fucking mental break.
Yeah, like all of a sudden, imagine like Assassin's Creed 3. You're playing through, you're playing as Desmond. But, like, Desmond in some ancient time that, you know, whatever, and he's doing what he does, and then at the end of the game you find out that he just killed everyone.
Yeah.
You know, like, in real
Desmond,
life. Just...
what did you do? All the Templars are dead. Templars, those were school children.
it's like you just murdered a children's hospital.
What the fuck's wrong with you, man?
Yeah.
Or better yet, this whole thing has been just him being a crazy, and like all the games you find out, it's just been him being a mass murderer this whole time. Yeah. And there's been no animus, none of that exists.
No, just like at the very end, just like pulls out, and you just like all of a sudden you see Desmond in a straitjacket in an insane asylum in like a rubber room, just smack his head against a wall. It's like, what happened to him? It's like, I don't know. One day he just kind of snapped. He killed his girlfriend, and like you look at his girlfriend, and it's the chickie that he stabbed in the Brotherhood. He's like, I don't know, he murdered her and just kind of, like, receded into his own mind.
Even better. Fucking wrap your minds around this. You pull out even farther, and you are someone else that has been a mass murderer, thinking that they're in an animus as Desmond in an animus.
you pull out just been Ezio the entire time. Yeah, so it's like Ezio, like Ezio thinks he's Desmond, who's controlling Altair, but then escapes, and then he thinks he's Desmond controlling himself.
No. Perfect's right here. You're Hitler, and that's the reason why he shoots himself, is because he's like, there's some fucked up shit in the world, and he's just like, bang.
No, it's like, alright, so you're Hitler, and at the very end of the game, it pulls out, and then it turns into the last boss fight from Wolfenstein 3D.
Oh my god, we are fucking geniuses!
Ubisoft. Call us. we'll have our people call your people. Okay, so this last bit of news is kind of news. I'll send you guys a link over the chat. And so this is a teaser image for BioWare's upcoming game. It is No, BioWare.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It is one screenshot.
Spec Ops the Line, right?
I can't scroll down. There we go. Yeah,
like, I'm thinking it's Dragon Age 3.
Okay, so I'm seeing
really?
a car exploded, no. A guy flying.
Yes.
There's a truck and dust. There's a lot of sand.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a mashup of Rage and Uncharted. I don't fucking know. It looks weird. Why can't they give us why?
So
this is gonna be BioWare's next franchise. So I'm gonna be interested in how they work dialogue trees into post-apocalyptic driving game.
Oh god, I hope it's not a driving game.
I don't know. So yeah, well, for the people out there don't know, so we'll describe this image right now. What it is there's a something looks like a Doom buggy. It's fucked up. It's flying through the air. There's a guy who looks like he was launched out of the Doom buggy, flying through the air, and there's dust everywhere. It's also in the desert.
Yeah, it's looking like there's another. It looks like the truck that he was probably in. Looking at it looks like it got like hit from another truck from behind. The way that the truck in the air is looking, like it looks like the head or the front of the truck that he was in or something is facing upwards. There's a truck behind it.
The car that he was in. The highest part of that, I'm pretty sure that's the back end of it, and because if you look at the front part, you can see like the engine of it.
Oh, wait.
Oh no, I think you might be right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the door's opening up like that.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at, is the door.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that the guy who's flying through the air was in the bed of the truck, and then rammed it backwards into someone, so that we'll go flying through the air, and then he goes flying over it.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, Claptrap shows up and shoots him.
I don't know what to think about this. It's there. So what do we know for sure about it? Is it's a new franchise?
Yes, we know it's from BioWare. It's a new franchise, and that image.
So we know pretty much fuck all.
Yes.
Yeah. Ask me anything about this image.
It's in a desert.
Yes, it is post-apocalyptic. I'm guessing it's like post-apocalyptic.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah, it looks. It has post-apocalyptic written all over it.
Yes. So, moving on now. New releases. So, for, again, this week, the week of November 14th, 2011, we have Saints Row the Third for PS3, 360, and PC. Minecraft for the Mac and PC coming out this Friday. Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 for the PS3 and 360. Assassin's Creed Revelations for the PS3, 360, and PC. Rayman Origins for the Wii, PS3, and Xbox 360. So, just some aside note about this. Ubisoft has said that the sales numbers of this game will determine if we get a Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Of the Rayman Origins?
Yes.
Why? If they're not related, are they?
They're both made by Ubisoft.
Okay, but I mean,
that's like saying, you know, if Raving Rabbids didn't sell well, we're just not going to do another Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, I don't understand it. That doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like skimming through some news stuff a couple weeks ago. I read the title of it. I was just like, eh, okay. I don't really think it was that important, but yeah.
So then apparently that. Red Faction Armageddon isn't gonna, you know, was the last of that series because the wrestling games didn't sell well.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. So, but yeah, I actually really want to play Rayman Origins.
I've heard a lot of good things about it, and yeah. I never played any of the Rayman games.
Yeah, I emailed Ubisoft to see if I could get a review code. I heard nothing. Right, so we also have Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition for the Xbox 360. Jurassic Park, the game, for PS3, 360, and PC.
Is it me, or is this Halo Combat Evolved kind of had like a silent launch?
Yeah, kind of. It was like announced at E3. There was one trailer, I think, and then that's kind of it.
They promoted the hell out of it at Fan Expo. I got to play it.
Yeah. You haven't seen commercials for it anywhere. Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, just Bobby, let me guess something about the game. It played like Halo.
It played like Halo Reach, actually.
So it played like a Halo game.
Well, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, nothing new then. Okay, moving on. We have Need for Speed, The Run, for Wii, PS3, 360, The Brick of Shit, and PC.
I like to call it Need for Speed, The Runs. Yeah. You're racing home to go poopy. Yeah.
Razor Callahan had some bad Chinese food. You have to get him home. You get to get him home, cops be damned, before he accidentally shits all over his pants. before he goes boom boom. We also have Rochard for the PC. Anno 2070 for the PC. Lego Harry Potter years 5 through 7 for the PS3, Wii, PSP, Xbox 360, original DS, and PC.
Oh my god, a game for the original DS. Nintendo's finally growing some brain cells.
They've released a couple of games for the regular DS and other brick of shit. Also, Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games for the Wii. Because, yeah.
Hey, you gotta support that system still, right? I mean.
Yes, I don't fucking know. Right, so we also have Sideway, New York for the PC. Medieval Move, Deadman's Quest for the PS3. That was not Deadman's, it was Deadman's.
How is it spelled?
DEADMUND apostrophe S.
Good God.
Yes. Kinect Disneyland Adventures for the Xbox 360.
I heard that was like a virtual tour of Disneyland.
Yeah, I think so.
That sounds actually interesting.
It sounds stupid.
What? Have you been to Disneyland?
No, but that's what the internet is for.
How so?
Because I'm pretty sure that you can go to anywhere on the internet and find about 8 billion videos giving you a tour of Disneyland.
Yeah, but this one you can interact with it.
Not really. You can sit in your living room and hold up an arm. That's not really interacting. There's no force feedback.
Well, I don't know how the game plays. I just heard that it was basically like an interactive tour of it.
Yeah, it's like, why don't you go through this really kind of poorly rendered version of Disneyland? Look at the Disney castle. Its texture looks like shit.
I haven't seen that again. I have seen nothing on this game whatsoever.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah, okay.
So, also have Shinobi for the Brick of Shit. Dynasty Warrior 7 Extreme Legends for the PS3. Where Is My Heart for the PlayStation Network. Real Warfare 2 Northern Crusade for the PC.
Real Warfare, God.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
Yep.
You can't hear it, but I'm facepalming.
Yes. Vanguard Bandits for the PlayStation 3 network. It's PS1 Classic, apparently.
You know what drives me nuts with the PS1 Classics? It's, there's no trophies. Mm-hmm. That's it. That, and I, as far as I know, you are not logged into PSN mm-hmm. while playing PS1 Classics. That needs to change. Yeah. Sony, if you're listening. Mm-hmm.
So, Winter Stars for the Xbox 360 Kinect, PS3 Move, I'm guessing, and Wii. Then finally, for this week anyway, Fossil Fighters Champions for the original DS. And so there's one more game coming out. It's coming out in between these 2 weeks, so it is coming out on the 20th, which is the, look at the calendar, it is the Sunday, this coming Sunday. Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword for the Wii. So, yeah, that to look forward to. So, moving on. For next week, the week of November 21st, we have Batman Arkham City for the PC.
Finally.
Mm-hmm. Sonic Generations for the brick of shit. And I've actually heard the good things about like the console versions of Sonic Generations.
Like I don't like any Sonic after 2.
It's like, well, this is apparently not a bad Sonic game. It's actually half decent. I think Destructor gave it like an 8.5 out of 10.
Then I might try it.
Do we have any sales charts for this game at all? Does anyone know what it sold?
Let me just look that up. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, I agree with you on Sonic 2 being the last good Sonic game.
Other than Flash Internet versions, some of them are pretty good. Okay. So, how about, you know...
Okay.
Why don't we tell you more about Skyrim? Oh, he's back.
Yes, I am. Okay, so... In the first week of the release, this generation sold 98,000 copies on Xbox 360 and 71,000 on PS3, and the grand total is just under 170,000 units sold. Mm. Yes, there is no numbers for digital download on the site that I'm looking at.
Right, that's fine.
Yes.
That's still not, I guess that's not a bad number. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Sonic averages every time that these shit games come out.
Well, this is the best domestic launch for any Sonic game on any system in the past 3 years.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, this actually does look really cool.
Alright. Might check it out.
Yes, so...
Well, yep. You know what, the one thing that sucks about this is, like, as shitty as the Sonic games have been over the course of, the last 10 years, like, they keep making them, and so now having a good one again, it's just gonna refuel that fire to keep making these games, and then we're setting ourselves up for, another 10 years of shitty Sonic games.
This is going through the cycle, just peak and trough, just, it's got a good drop. Yeah, okay, we also have WWE 12 for the Wii, PS3, and 360.
I gotta play that.
I would bet $100 that the graphics on it are way behind where they should be, because they are with every wrestling game that ever comes out.
Probably.
I want to say it was one of the first ones for the PS3 when it came out. It was at that time... better, way better than any other wrestling game's graphics, and kind of up to date for what it was. Unfortunately, for the wrestling games, they have basically kept those graphics and that engine since then. And as far from what I've seen from the gameplay footage of this one, it hasn't changed at all either still. So, at one time, it was kind of, up to date, when the PS3, and I've only played on the PS3, when the PS3 first came out, it was kind of up to date, looks really good. It's like, whoa, look at my wrestler, he looks cool and more realistic than ever. But since then, it just hasn't changed at all, and you still get the shitty look of it. And, yeah, it needs to be updated badly.
Okay, moving on. Serious Sam 3 BFE for the PC.
People still play those games?
Yeah, they're fucking awesome.
I haven't heard anything from them in so long.
There are dudes without heads with bombs strapped to their hands running at you while screaming. Even though they have no heads.
That's kind of intense.
And you never have to reload your shotgun.
What's the camera angle? Is this like a third person?
It's first person.
First person.
Oh, it's a first person shooter. Yeah, Serious Sam was one of the last great hurrahs of the stupid first-person shooter era.
So when you say stupid first-person shooter, I'm thinking Duke Nukem.
Yeah, shit like that, where it's just balls to the walls insanity, you have health packs, you never have to reload your shotgun, and there are dudes with saw blades for heads shooting magical missiles at you.
Right on.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden there's just some dude with a face for it, with a torso for a face, just running at you, just sprinting while screaming at you, and then they had to back up a shoot. This is kind of like one of the last games where circle strafing was a core part of gameplay. you just had your hands on A and S the entire time. Just all right, we get together, boom, 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 boom. You know, we could carry 17 weapons and have like 8 billion shotgun shells and never have to stop. Like, wait, I gotta reload my shotgun. Just like, nope. All I have to do is just like wait for it. All I have to do is just like wait for it to cock in between each shot. Just boom, boom, and just do that 8,000 times and never have to reload. Yeah, this is the thing. This is the thing where you've got to fight giant scorpion monsters with 2 miniguns for hands.
Nice.
Yeah, and so this is a new re-release. This is a new game. It's entirely new from the original team. It's just fucking insane. But there have been two recent Serious Sam games to kind of hype up Serious Sam 3. There was Serious Sam Double D, I think. And so that one, it is a like side-scrolling shooter. But the kind of cool thing is you can stack guns. So like you get these things called weapon connectors. So in each one of those, for each one of those, you can put 2 weapons together. And so I saw a version of this, like a little run through of this. There's a guy with a shotgun attached to an SMG that was attached to another shotgun that was attached to a chainsaw.
What the fuck?
Yes. And then there was another one which came out as a turn-based RPG where the entire game was like the entire thing was like, alright, you're gonna attack here, you're gonna attack with this at this angle, and they control the movement of your guys. But then like the entire thing is just you running backwards as fast as you can, just constantly shooting while hundreds of dudes just run at you. And it looks fucking insane. It looks awesome and I wanna play it so bad. Okay. Moving on. King of Fighters 13 for the PS3 and 360. Yep. WWE All-Stars for the Brick of Shit. So this game was released earlier this year and on proper consoles. It is actually the only wrestling game in the past, like, I don't know, decade that I found interesting.
Really?
Yes, it is an arcade wrestler. It's got like all the wrestlers from like the past like X number of years. It's got, like, Jake the Snake Roberts, fucking Macho Man Randy Savage, Triple H, Hulk Hogan, Andre the fucking Giant.
Andre!
Yes, and you can step on dudes. And you can step on dudes as Andre.
Andre's great, because he's Canadian.
Yes. Yes, and so, like, this is the great thing is, like, it is an arcade wrestler. So it is just, like, thrown, like, all the WWE games are going for like hyper realism. Like, we're gonna show you how this shit really works. Fuck that. These are dudes where their chests are like 5 times as high as their head, and then you just like jump like 12 feet in the air to do an elbow drop. You have life bars. You build your finisher moves. It looks fucking insane, and I really want to play it. And yeah. Okay, so, what else we got? We have Tekken Hybrid for the PS3, which is a re-release of Tekken Tag Tournament 1, and a demo for Tekken Tag Tournament 2, and a short 3D film called Tekken Blood Vengeance.
If they would just, like, put Tekken Bowl on the PlayStation Network as its own standalone thing, I will pay up to $20 for that. Because I remember loving the shit out of that.
Okay, well, just a couple more games. We also have Kung Fu High Impact for the Xbox 360 Kinect. Corpse Party for the... does it say what this game is for?
Hold on, let's go back to the Kung Fu thing for Kinect. How many people are around housing their, like, 8-year-old children trying to do that?
At least 5.
I want to see the videos for that.
Yeah. All right, so Corpse Party is for the PSP. It is a hand-drawn 2D sprite game. It's an adventure game. It uses hand-drawn 2D sprite and tile art to tell the story of a group of Kisaragi Academy high school students who are trapped in a haunted elementary school. So I'm guessing this is based on, like, the manga, so it's going to be fucked up. Get Up and Dance for the PS3.
Yeah.
Like, get your friends around and get dancing together, or have your very own dance-off and get up and dance. Yeah. John.
Trying to compete with Just Dance.
Yeah. It also came out on the Wii. So, Jaws, Ultimate Predator for the Wii.
Oh, God.
And the Brick of Shit.
So, whoever thought that Jaws would make video games needs to drink a lot and then smoke some weed, and then maybe they'll have a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there a Jaws game, a very poor Jaws game for the NES?
Well, there was that one, and then there was also the one for the PS2 and Xbox.
Oh, really?
It was bad.
It looked like shit.
You had to fight whales as Jaws.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. And the textures all looked like shit. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, the water texture was... Like, the top water, I'm pretty sure it was just, like, a rotating... I'm pretty sure it was just, like, a revolving texture just going on over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, the only thing fun about it was that you could eat people, but that lost its fun after a while.
Yeah, you could jump up in the air, land on a boat and crush it in half, and then grab a dude, throw him, like, 20 feet across, then swim over and jump up to grab him. I know it sounds cool, it isn't. So yeah, that is going to do it for new releases for this week. You guys have anything you want to talk about? Like, closing shit?
How about the reason I'm not going to be here for tomorrow's podcast?
Okay, so yeah.
I'm going to Dig London.
Yeah, so tomorrow it'll be me and Shax and special guest, Ghost Admin ALC James. While Bovi is off at Dig London. So, for those people out there who don't know, what is Dig London?
Dig London, I just found out about it like last week, it's a gaming conference where a lot of the industry professionals come and they speak and there's gaming rooms and stuff. So I'll be there, seeing if I can
spread
some info from panels and, yeah, spreading some names and all around having fun in the gaming room as well.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, so, well, be sure to tune in tomorrow for the triumphant debut of one of our two Ghost Admins. I call them Ghost Admins because even though they are founding members of the site, they don't do jack shit.
I kind of like the name Ghost Admin. Like, that would be a good handle or, avatar name or something.
Yeah, when we get the forums back up, that'll be the one that posts all our news. It's like my new forum post by Ghost Admin.
It's more original than like Hal or Gladys or some
Newsbot. Okay, so I guess that's going to do it for today's episode of the DeathStoreProducts.com video games podcast. As always, follow us on Twitter. You follow the site at DeathStoreProducts. I'm at Deadman_DBProducts, at Bobiwan, and at Fuckshax.
Yeah, I need more followers. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but like I have like 8 followers, and none of them seem real, and it makes me not give a shit to post anything.
Yeah, I have. I'm just going to pull my Twitter right now. I have 38 followers.
See, I got 8.
Yeah, but I've also been on here for longer.
True. I think some of my problem, because like just today I got an email saying that some World TV something was following me, and now I looked at it tonight and they're not there, so I think they stopped following me. And I think a problem is I follow porn stars, and I'm sure there's people out there that see that and they're like, oh, I don't want to follow this person if they're following porn stars.
I follow porn stars and I still got guys. I got look over here. I got like Game Informer following me. Front Wars Gamers. They've actually been helped. They actually helped us out a lot. Like for initial site stuff. Like when you're first starting up, me and Shanghai 6 exchanged some messages back and forth. They helped me out a lot.
Yeah, like I have Game Informer following me too. But like, yeah, I have like. I have you two following me. I have one other guy from from SG.
I have Flavio Alves, a director and film producer.
Whoa, wow.
I have 4 followers. 2 of them are you guys.
I guess.
But
I
then again, I don't tweet very often. I just set up a connection to my Facebook, so if I ever remember to make public posts on my Facebook, then it will Also go to Twitter.
I'm also being followed by Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, like, for the most part, all I've been doing on Twitter is, X from SG. I've been, like, she'll, like, post something, and I'll, like, comment on it. I'll do that as well.
Yeah, or you'll send direct tweets to Patrick Klepek.
Yeah.
Yeah, so follow us on Twitter. It'll help us out. We're on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/deathdoorprods/whole bunch of numbers. I posted a link in the description. We're on iTunes, so yeah, check that out. Subscribe to the RSS, and just help us out, man. You know, we want to give you guys more content, but it would help us out if we get more people to look at that content.
Yeah, review us on everyone I talk to that is like that I know personally or know through the internet that talk to me about, you know, oh well, what am I going to look for on iTunes for your podcast? I'm like, oh, you know, I say Death Door Prods, you know, do a search for that on iTunes, and then I always say to them, review it. Of course they never do, but
yeah
like you got to review it, you know, we need people.
Yes, we got to get some buzz going.
Yeah,
you know, help us help you by helping us.
I kind of feel like I should have brought this up when you asked if we had anything extra to talk about, but like I was saying earlier, you know, that we have signed up with Metacritic, and now we're waiting for Metacritic.
Yes, we are waiting for confirmation to be put on as a publication on Metacritic.
Yeah, so hopefully that'll bring us some traffic once that gets done.
Yeah, you know, we've started getting games from publishers now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, that seems like a huge hurdle to get over, is because that seems like a thing that you had to have a very, very popular site to get to have that stuff.
Yeah, and actually, just something kind of cool that I wanted to mention. I know this isn't the right podcast to be doing this for, but I was actually offered an internship at another site.
Right.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. Like, they read some of my shit and then asked me to be a TV journalist. I know I should probably brought that up on Friday, but I just kind of wanted to mention it. Like there are people who do read our stuff. It's just they never read it on our site.
Right.
So, yeah, like, if this shit is good enough to get me an offer to be an intern at a fucking other website, it should be good enough for you bitches. I'm sorry. Please don't leave.
Yeah. Nice job at insulting the people listening.
Yeah, come on, just...
It's funny how you apologize like you're an alcoholic husband. Like you're like, bitches, no, please don't leave. Come on, baby, I love you. You know that.
Like, I love you. Please don't leave me. I don't want to hurt you anymore.
I call you bitches. I swear to God, I did it. I'll stop drinking.
I mean, you fine, lovely ladies. Well, lady.
Oh.
And even that might be questionable. Okay, I'm sorry, you're a lady.
Stop now.
Yeah, so help us out. Review us on iTunes. Subscribe to the RSS. Subscribe to everything. Follow us on Twitter. Yeah, we love what we're doing here, and we want to be able to do more of it.
Help us to help you.
Yes. Help us help you by helping us help other people.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping us to help you help us all.
Exactly. So, yeah. Follow some shit. Do some shit. Download some shit. Yay. So, again, tomorrow, comic book podcast will be me, Shax, ALC James. We might have him on more often now, because he now has a microphone. So,
cool.
Until next time, I'm Dead.
I'm Obi-Wan.
I'm Shax, and I want Nintendo to drop a brick of shit on my chest.
We'll see you guys next time.